Hey, everybody.
Hello. Listen, it's almost time for us to return with the X-Files. As a matter of fact, that happens in less than a week. On April 10th, we will be returning to aliens and Scullies and Mulders and cigarette-smoking men and all that sort of thing. But while we're here, we wanted to give you one more little trip down memory lane with Buffering the Vampire Slayer for a very specific reason.
Because it's prom time? Because it's the promming hour? Because it's prom o'clock? Because the prom draws nigh?
Exactly. Jenny, it's 2 weeks away, which is terrifying, from Buffy prom in Brooklyn. The first time we'll ever be in Brooklyn, actually. We did a Manhattan prom. We tried to do a Brooklyn prom in 2020, but we were foiled by a global pandemic, but we're coming back strong. April 19th, April 20th, and April 21st. It's the whole weekend of Buffy prom. And so to celebrate that, we're sharing this conversation that we had so many years ago, Jenny, with Ira Madison III when we covered the episode prom.
When we first discussed the prom in 2018, just a few days before our very first prom in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And, you know, Jenny and I are about like 3 seconds away from handing over the final manuscript of our book. And so we've been digging back into this prom. And something that you'll read in the book when it releases in 2025 is that when we taped this episode, we knew that our marriage was ending, but Ira didn't and no one else did. So, you know, if you remember everything we said about the prom, the episode, you might want to just have a blast listening to us as two people who can compartmentalize incredibly brilliantly.
Wow, just giving it all up, huh, Kristen? Just telling them everything?
I mean, you know, just a little bit, just a little taste.
No need to read the book. Just come to the intro. I'm really excited about this year's prom, most especially because we're doing a couple things we haven't done before. The first thing we're doing on Friday night is Buffy trivia at Talea Brewery in Williamsburg. And, you know, we're customizing a menu. We're preparing a variety of hard-hitting questions.
Will Black Frost be available on tap? Maybe.
There's only one way to find out. Be there. Or be potentially Black Frostless.
Yeah, this is the first time that Jenny and I will ever be hosting trivia. So it'll either be a great time or a chaotic time or both. I vote both. The following night, of course, Saturday, April 20th at the Bell House. What haven't we done at the Bell House, honestly? We will be having our fourth Buffy prom. This is the fourth time we've prommed together. And for those of you who don't know, you know, we just sort of assume that all of you know what happens at a Buffy prom. But in case you don't know, we play almost exclusively music that released before the year 1999, of course, because this is the class of 1999. We dance a lot. Many folks come dressed up in Buffy cosplay. Other folks come dressed up in full 1990s prom regalia. Jenny, my sister is coming this year. And do you know the outfit that Buffy wears that's sort of like the shortest dress that's ever been considered a dress? And it's like leopard print. And she wears like a leather jacket over it.
This is ringing a bell, I think.
The whole episode when we covered it, we were like, how will she ever sit down? That is, my sister found that outfit and is wearing that to prom. So
your sister already had that outfit. Let's be real.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Jenny, you played two live sets of music.
Yes, I play some Buffering songs and some 90s classics. And sometimes there are special guests and it's really fun.
We usually also have an assortment of 1990s themed snacks. So if you are, you know, really...
Oh, yeah. Ever heard of Gushers?
Yeah. Ever heard of tiny cans of Pringles? Let's go. Let's go.
I just thought of one that I don't think we've ever done.
Oh, what?
Teddy Grahams.
Oh, I bet you I could find some Teddy Grahams for prom this year.
I believe in you, Kristen. I think you can do it.
Thank you. Me and Costco.
Make
best
me
friends.
The happiest co-host in the world.
And then for the first time ever, we are doing a live Buffy watch in person. So Sunday afternoon, we will gather once more at the Bell House Jenny and I are wearing pajamas. I think a lot of folks who are coming are going to be wearing pajamas. And we're just going to make a Buffy loving pile. That sounds weird. And watch the prom. And one. we're going to be cozy is all I'm trying to say. And we're going to watch two episodes.
So cozy.
So cozy.
Let's see if I get Frank in some pajamas.
Oh, my God. Is Frank coming to the watch?
No, Frank's staying in Maine.
Oh, God damn it. Don't get me excited like that. Also, last thing before we let you listen to us talk about this television show that you love is that we are offering a handful of prom scholarships. Prom is not a cheap ticket, and we know that. And so there are some of you that want to join us but don't have the means to. So we have a handful of tickets set aside. All of the information that we have just said here to you, apart from wondering if Frank is going to be at prom or not, is at bufferingcast.com/prom. You can go there if you want to snag a prom scholarship. If you grab one of those tickets, it's totally free for you to come to prom. And if you just want more information or to scoop some tickets, VIP tickets are the ones that'll get you into trivia and prom and the Buffy Watch. You can find that all over there.
I'm so excited. I hope we'll see you there.
Me too. I cannot believe how soon it is. Holy shit.
Yes. So come hang out. We hope you will. But if you can't, you can just enjoy this little trip down prom memory lane.
Oh my God. I had such a fucking wonderful time listening to Ira again. So enjoy.
Welcome to Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we are watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer one at a time in chronological order and spoiler-free. My name is Jenny Owen Young.
And I'm Kristen Russo. And this week we're finally here, season 3, episode 20, The Prom. Stay tuned at the end of the podcast every week for an original song written by us recapping the Buffy episode we are discussing.
The Prom was written by Marty Noxon and directed by David Solomon and originally aired on May 11th in the year of 1999.
This is the one where, after Angel breaks off their relationship, Buffy single-handedly battles three fearsome hellhounds so that her classmates can enjoy their senior prom. This is also the one where we are joined by Ira Madison III, writer for Daily Beast. Speaking of beasts, writer for Daily Beast and host of the podcast Keep It. Hi, Ira.
Hi.
Hey. Remember when we were hanging out at Nerd Meld and we had just met and we were like, what's your favorite episode? And you were like, The Prom.
Yes, my favorite season 3 one.
So, yes, favorite season 3 episode. Yeah. So you're here. We're ready to talk about it. This is exciting.
It's wild. This episode is wild.
Yeah. Do you have, so who are we talking to that says when they think, oh, Joanna Robinson, who's been on the podcast a few times, she says whenever she thinks about an episode of Buffy, she gets like a couple of scenes and a couple of lines. Do you have like things yes. that really stick you about this episode?
The things that really stick with me are, one, the ridiculousness of Buffy scribbling Angel's name on her notebook. Out of nowhere.
Also, I just posted a picture of it, and like underneath the very nice scribble is just her name. Like she wrote it for practice Buffy. And then came in for the full design yeah. after that.
What else? I mean, there's obviously the class protector scene.
Yes, sure.
And when Jonathan is talking about the bad things that happen at the school, like, you know, demons and zombies, someone yells, Snyder!
Snyder, yes!
So high school.
This actually, too, we were just talking about, because Jonathan, so we had earshot before this episode, which is, you know, Buffy and Jonathan kind of have a moment, but in the way that it aired.
Right, so if you watch the show when it originally aired, which I did, I had no idea that they had this moment
right.
2 weeks prior. Because right. Earshot didn't air. And so it's so weird watching it back in a row. Because yeah. it's like, Earshot didn't air until the summer.
Yeah, not until September.
And then Graduation Day aired right after that. And so
no, I think it was graduation day. It wasn't it in July, and then Earshot.
That's right.
Like,
they pushed graduation day till July, and then Earshot didn't even air till September.
Yeah,
And it's so weird because I kept thinking that I remember when this episode finally aired. Part of me thought I had forgotten the description of Earshot from the TV guide that I had because they used to, you know, that's how I used to find out about Lucky.
Sure.
And it was I thought that this was the delayed episode just because it involves drama at a high school.
Oh, yeah. The school populace. Yeah. Totally.
Oh, and the other, the line that always comes for me is Xander being mad. He's a prop comic.
Yeah.
I remember that line.
Yeah, he feels so robbed.
Also, that person who won seems like they'd be the only person more annoying than Xander.
Right?
I'm like, I'm glad we were never introduced to that person through the years we were watching Buffy.
God, not even in Earshot when we met so many students we had never met before. We didn't meet the class clown.
I kept hoping some of them would come back, too.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, spoiler, my fave never comes back.
Who's your fave? Is it Hogan Martin?
No, it's the girl who's a bitch to Buffy.
Yes, what's her name? We talked about her forever.
Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy. Ugh, I could have done that. Like, I kept expecting she would pop up in the college years in a class and just, like, roll her eyes at Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Alas.
Oh,
it was not to be.
So let's jump into the episode and see. The pre-credits scene is...
Listen, you know when you're sleeping and then you wake up and someone undead is staring at you, waiting for you to wake up?
It's so...
Do you think that Angel can, like, sense or, like, smell when a human is about to wake up?
Maybe.
I don't know. God, that
like,
would...
like, maybe their, like, pulse quickens or something?
Vampires can breathe on this show, so...
That's true.
At least Angel can.
Even though they
can't
breathe, but, like, whenever they film in the cold, you always see their breath.
Sure. Or they smoke. Always panting. Like,
yes.
It's his number one emotional response to every situation is to pant.
Oh, but yeah, I just love the way it's shot, because it's like, Buffy is sleeping, and then it, like, turns to the side, and it's supposed to be, like, romantic or something.
He's a vampire.
It's so creepy.
Even if he wasn't a vampire, it's like his face is so close.
Yeah,
well,
her face.
Well, what's also creepy about it is if you remember, do you remember Passion when he was like, I'd like to watch you sleep, and he drew her?
Oh my God, he was evil?
Yes.
Yes, this is the charcoal rendering.
So, like, evil and good Angel, well, like, just stare over Buffy and watch her sleep.
When you have a soul and when you don't have a soul, as was sort of implied in Doppelgangland, there are certain characteristics that you share with yourself, which is that maybe if you're Angel, you like to watch people sleep. And when you're evil, you like to draw them and then leave charcoal sketches around to intimidate them. But if you're ensouled Angel, you just love your girlfriend.
Also, this is a big moment because they have the classic talk, can I get some mirrors for your place and maybe a drawer?
Yes.
Which is good and sets up the whole through line of the episode.
I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, the Sex in the City, like, getting too comfortable in this relationship. What are we doing?
Yes.
You know, it was like when she was asking, when Carrie was asking Berger, like, can I leave some stuff here? and then she goes and, like, opens the curtain. I'm like, you know what time it is, girl.
But, okay, and it's not on her. Why are there curtains with fucking sunlight exposure just facing his goddamn bed?
First of all, whoever picked out Angel's mansion for, like, set purposes was an idiot. I am sorry, but all through season 2 and 3, there's so much open sunlight.
But
so
also, Angel's, like, core personality trait is, like, a tortured soul.
Yes.
So he may have
He's like, I deserve this.
He likes to sit in a room and, like, look at a strand of sunlight hitting the wall and just, like, weep.
Also, how about his, like, chenille throw and those, like, was that, like, duvet cover and Sham's, like, brocade or something?
His style is so weird.
It's really...
It's a lot.
There's a lot of soft things. Angel likes a soft thing.
A lot.
Anyhow.
I mean, he did debut wearing those, like, ugly silk shirts.
The touch of satin. Angel. Anyway, the start of the next scene is...
Wait, before we go there, yes, I'm so sorry. Totally I just want to touch on the fact that when Buffy's like, prom, and Angel's like, prom? And Buffy's like, think Cotillion with Spike Punch and Electric Slide.
Uh-huh.
I just want you to let you know that the Cotillion is a French country dance or a social dance popular in the 18th century in Europe.
So she was trying to speak his language, French?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
That is my point.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Cool. Bye.
I was just very excited to get to the next bit here because we have Anya and Xander.
His shirt? What is his button placket? What is it? It's made of like crumpled craft paper.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Or like rough. It's like a, do you remember like a tuxedo shirt? Yes, that he like put on inside out.
Season 3, I feel like Xander and Willow are in a competition to see who can wear the worst things imaginable.
I agree. Well, we get this amazing...
Then that person decides to, like, attack other cast members in season 4, and I think we all know who it is.
For those of you who don't, you'll just have to wait and see. But we get this amazing line from Anya, which, like, I for one just want to put on a shirt, the full quote. She says, I have witnessed a millennium of treachery and oppression from the males of the species, and I have nothing but contempt for the whole libidinous lot of them.
Uh-huh.
Which I believe calls for a jingle.
The Patriot!
I just want to say that I love the fact that Anya and Xander are like coming together here. I love the fact that Xander is now being sort of sought after by a woman whose entire history before this was to teach men
just destroying
how
men
to not be shitheads.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's nice.
It's what he needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody needs a little bit of Anya, but I think also, Xander needs an extra dose.
He doesn't deserve her.
No, he doesn't.
Have so much compassion for poor, sweet, gentle Anya. We're really starting to see her deal, which is that she's been stuffed into this human mortal fucking body sock that she has to live out the rest of her mortal days in, and she has like all these feelings with which she has not been burdened since she was made.
Yeah.
And that's just rough. It's just rough. She's so fucked up that she's like, maybe Xander.
Yeah, she's very confused. She's trying to find her way.
Yeah. Honestly, I think she's my fave all around Buffy character.
Hell yes.
Jenny's too.
But my favorite Buffy verse character is Cordelia.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Cordelia. Let's just like go to Cordelia's whole deal in this episode. Because when we were watching it, I was like, wow, we're gonna be talking to Ira, and I know Ira loves Cordelia.
I love her.
Like, right, we all do. But we're all like, I think, aware that like her plot line in this episode is pretty.
It's so dumb. I get it. It's like, for some reason, maybe the writers thought that like Cordelia was a bitch and she needed like a redemption arc.
Right.
But I feel like we were all pretty okay with Cordelia being Cordelia.
Yeah.
Maybe like, they needed Xander to have a redemption arc.
I mean,
he
bought her a dress. I mean, I guess it's him doing something nice from having cheated on her.
But, yeah.
But it's also like she's secretly working in this store, you know, to hide the fact that she's broke now.
Mm-hmm.
But she's secretly working to hide it from her classmates.
Right.
Except it's close enough to Sunnydale that Tucker sent his hellhounds there. To attack?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So unless they
and then
went...
And Xander pops unless, in every day,
right,
basically.
Yeah, and Xander just happens to be there while looking for a tux. So, like, you didn't do a very good job, girl.
Well, you know, she... to in her defense, just in terms of, like, remaining incognito, she doesn't seem to do a whole lot of work. Like, you wouldn't mistake... Like, you wouldn't walk in and be like, ah, an employee. She's just carrying the dress
around. She literally does have her jacket over her name tag.
Yes. But, like, I just...
Carrying her dress that she wants to wear.
Yes. All the time. She just circles the store carrying her own dress.
Yeah, in between picking up her purse from the couch and, like, taking all of her college acceptance letters out of it.
What I'm actually disappointed in is the fact that this wasn't a real storyline that they put thought into.
Yeah, that would
I would
be
have
nice.
Loved to have scenes where, like, you see Cordelia's broke and she's hiding it from everyone. And so we actually see a couple episodes where she actually is working at this store.
Right.
And make it like a plot point. Like have the owner be like evil or something.
Right. Oh, Miss Finkel?
Yeah. She's definitely got like an evil eye.
Because I would love to see scenes where Cornelia's waiting on people.
Yes. I think that's maybe what pisses me off the most about the whole thing is like, she's like, I have nothing. I have no home. It's like, you have no home? Where are you?
Where are you sleeping?
Where are you sleeping? Where do you go after this job? And like.
Also, did the FBI take all your clothes?
Right.
Because you seem to have a lot of clothes.
Exactly.
You probably have a dress.
All your makeup. Like, you're still. It seems like maybe she's saying she has nothing when in fact she just has less than what she used to have.
Buy it and return it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. God, layaway isn't even a thing anymore. That was like a big thing in the 90s. Yeah, my mom used to love a layaway.
Yeah.
Girl, no, I meant, really not a thing now?
Layaway? No? I don't know if it is.
I guess like credit cards are like.
Yeah, credit cards are so
new layaway. Available that they're just the new layaway.
But I guess, you know, I'm slightly better off than probably my mom was then.
Right.
Because, you know, she was raising two kids.
Yes.
And I am, you know, 31 and single. Yeah.
Your money's going to one place.
Right. All my money's just going to me.
Yeah.
You know, she was paying for rent and also two kids.
Yeah.
Because by the time my mom was 31, she would have had me and my sister. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess layaway is probably still a thing somewhere
maybe,
in America.
Yeah, right.
It's
maybe
just that,
it's
like,
just
we wouldn't
as...
use it here. Mm-hmm, it'd be mm-hmm. it'd be silly.
Right.
To
the places, maybe like the places that we're going into don't have layaway, but the places that our moms went into definitely
have. Can we have layaway at Chipotle?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I will pay you.
Pay for the rice right now.
I'll pay you to it.
Oh my God. So let's backtrack for a hot second.
Ding dong, it's Joyce.
Joyce goes over to Angel's
mansion. I would have called
you,
but I don't have your number. Does Angel have a phone?
It's very unclear if Angel has a phone or not.
How do they contact him?
Right? How do they contact anybody? They're always talking on the show like, I'll holler if I need you. Like, what do you even mean?
We did see Angel. Beat me.
Yeah. Oh my God. Beat me.
That's at least clear. We did see Angel call Giles one time. At the library,
yeah.
Right?
Okay, so
but
he does.
Who knows where he was calling from? Yeah. I don't think he was living in Vant Mansion.
He also
at that
uses
time.
Payphones a lot.
It's
he
true.
Had that. He had that subterranean apartment.
To be fair, whenever anyone needs to give information on this show, they tend to just go to someone's home.
Yeah.
That's how it used to be.
It is, yeah, truly.
Kind of.
A landline or a knock.
Just popping by.
Just randomly appearing.
But Joyce has like so much sass in this. Like she's bringing the mom game for sure. Speaking of moms.
Momming hard.
But she's like, you know, Angel's like, making small talk. Like, well, you know, I don't get out much. And fucking Joyce is like, no, you wouldn't. Like. You know what I mean?
Unnecessary. Like
but
rubbing
she,
it in.
Well, no, though. I think it's not. I don't think it is unnecessary. I think she's coming in with a mission, which is you need to. And like, fucking yes, I'm with Joyce on this one. She comes there to be like, listen, my daughter is strong as fuck. And I even forget sometimes that she is not a grown adult. Burn on Angel. But like, yeah, exactly. But like, you know what? If she's not strong enough to do this thing that is best for the both of you,
then
you,
one of you who's 243 years old should have
fucking
the
be able to,
fucking wherewithal.
Yes. I know you care about her. I just hope you care about her enough.
Zing.
Fucking Joyce knows, you know? Joyce knows about love and heartache.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. She says you're all she can see of tomorrow.
It's, yeah. I mean, I'm here for Joyce in this moment, you know?
So then, of course, Joyce inspires a horrific nightmare from Angel.
Oh, my God.
Angel dreams that he's getting married to Buffy, and when they go into the daylight, she burns and turns to dust.
No.
So poetic.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Such a Marty Noxon moment.
Yeah, I didn't realize Marty Noxon had written this episode,
but
hell yeah.
And then we get a classic sweaty Angel waking up in a tizzy.
Yeah.
He's real bummed.
And then they break up in a sewer.
In a sewer.
You know?
Your classic lover's quarrel.
Sometimes you get broken up with in a sewer.
In a sewer. It's like, if getting broken up with isn't bad enough, doing it in a sewer has to really take the cake.
Also, he's like this freak show. And then she's offended, but like clearly if one of them is making it a freak show, it's him.
Yeah. I have a... This whole thing.
It's not great. It's like when Arya had to protect Nymeria from getting killed by the Hound and the Kingsguard and had to throw rocks. Spoilers for season one of Game of Thrones at Nymeria so she would run away instead of staying and being loyal.
It is.
He's
like
just like
that.
Throwing so everything.
Long ago on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you can't.
That I'm like, who are these people you're talking about?
I mean, we're being careful for 20-year-old
one
show.
One of the people is a wolf.
I'm like, maybe Arya still exists. No. I know her, but I'm like, who are these other people? I feel like there's 700 people I've been introduced to.
Since 600 of them have died, totally.
But I also, I really want to shout out Jenny Owen Youngs in this scene. Because, so Angel just like, he has something hard to say, and it's hard for him to say it, so he chooses silence. And he, I really saw my life in this scene where, like, anytime Jenny has something hard to say, it's me standing in a sewer waiting while she paces. And
I've
she
never
paces,
taken you to a sewer.
And she says, yeah, not in a sewer, but everything else.
A lot of pacing, a lot of facing away from her in order to say what he has to say.
Yeah, a lot of really good digs, Buffy, about Angel's heart. Is it even, it isn't even beating. She says,
"Ouch!
Yeah,
ouch, man."
Yeah, I mean,
she's very rude. Also, she's wearing this completely inappropriate sweater. It's white
for a sewer,
isn't it? Yes. It's white, and it's like, girl, you're in a sewer.
Yeah,
I don't think she expected to end up in a sewer.
No, she says she always winds up in the sewer at the end of the night.
Yeah. I feel like Sarah Michelle Gellar looks like extra hot in this scene.
She looks great. She looks her hair is blown out.
Yeah. She looks so beautiful. Do you think they were like, let's take the sting out of this emotionally horrible moment for the people at home and give them like really just like go for it?
You mean in this scene or in the episode?
In this scene,
I feel like Sarah Michelle Gellar's like glow up on the show really started happening later half of season three.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought her outfits were great.
Yeah.
The hair was on point.
Uh-huh.
Like they were really servicing her.
Totally.
Like,
could they
she,
did
like,
because of...
she looks the best. Like then, like we get to the red leather pants at graduation day,
Ugh.
And then you have the white. Then you have like the amends, like the duster. It's like she's just looking very good this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like the CW was like, WB were like, here's some budget.
Yeah,
Sarah Michelle Gellar was a movie star at that point too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it was
like
we gotta have our movie star happy, have her look good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mission accomplished.
And they did a lot of experimenting to get there. You know, she went through some tiny bangs.
She went through bangs.
There was a lot of playing around.
She went through a lot of bad mini skirts.
Yeah.
High boots.
Yes.
And then after they break up in the sewer, they both do what they do best, I guess, in moments like this. Buffy sat on the roof and Angel stares masochistically directly into an open blazing fire.
Yo, but this, like, they handle the writers, the creators, the actors, the whole ensemble handle this fucking breakup, I think, beautifully. Cause it like it's gutting. The lines that like Buffy has throughout as she's going through this breakup, the scene that she has with Willow, where she's like, I can't breathe. Like, you know what I mean? It just like I just thought it was done really well. I thought it was...
I liked this aspect of... I liked the Buffy and Angel story through one, you know, except for the dumb doodling. I liked the entire
story. Maybe
that'll
just remind us that she is, like, 17.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or 16, or whatever she is.
But, yeah, I mean, I wish that Angel...
She was 18 then.
No, is she?
No,
she's 17.
No, she's not 18 yet, right?
She was 18 because
no,
Hopeless.
Hang on.
Oh, Hopeless, yes! You're right. She is 18.
You
did the wrong math for the song last week.
Oh, no. Bad me.
You did 17.
I forgot. I'm so sorry. I am still just remembering when she turned 17 and then they had sex.
Right. But we forgot about Helpless. Thank God you're here, Ira.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Helpless. Phew. Why did I call it Hopeless?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about
Hope Hicks. I thought you said Helpless. but yeah, I don't know. I wish that Angel, in all of his 243 years of maturity, had thought, you know what, let me go to the prom and then we'll break up. Like, yes. I just, you know, I know we need the drama for the show, but it would have been nice for her feelings, I think.
Yeah, right. Just like be...
You think he would have gotten to an adult place.
Right, just to be like, you know what, it's going to hurt either way. Yeah. And I'll give her this thing that she wants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but also on the flip side, I love the arc of her being like, my heart is broken and the only like comfort food that I have is to kick ass, and that she wants to give this thing to her friends. So I do like it as a, like, right. I like what happens because of it, but I just roll my eyes at Angel. Right. Like, come on, man.
I mean, the alternative is that she still would have done that, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, right. Oh, no, I have a perfect date with Angel.
Can't
fuck these kids for one night.
Let them die.
And they're like, you know what? We're taking back this class retractor.
We thought, also, like, what happens to the class protector? You know, what is their plan for future years? That's what I want to know. You know, are they like, is a one-time only award?
I think I get the sense that it's one-time only.
One-time only.
Also, fucking a parasol? Like, what do you do with that? You can't, like, put it on a shelf. It's an umbrella.
It's a memento, it's like, Jenny. Okay. It's a memento.
I don't think there's anybody protecting Sunnydale High in the future seasons. Yeah.
Solid point. So, okay, so hellhounds, right? We've talked about them.
Oh, my God, these shots of this, of the hellhound shack.
Really?
That are like, yeah. You know?
Yeah, very.
PETA must be pissed.
Yeah, those hellhounds are not being treated respectfully.
They're not.
The cages are not nearly large enough.
And then watching pump up the volume to get them to go crazy.
But Cordelia, since we semi-dragged Cordelia, she does kind of nail this right out of the gates. She's like, excuse me, but those hellhounds have really good taste in, like, formal wear.
Yeah.
And everybody fucking ignores her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was right. She was right.
She should go join, like, a detective agency or something.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I know. I wish we knew any detectives. But I do love this, like, hellhounds gone wild video. It's like that they play over and over again where they're like pausing at the right moment.
Yes, of him jumping through.
Oh my God.
It's just very, it's speaking of detective work, it's very detective-y. The work that they're doing here. And then, you know, we get this moment from Buffy, which I would like to play a clip of her moment of like, well, you just listen.
I wonder if I can take my dress back.
Don't you dare.
But Tucker's gonna...
No. You guys are gonna have a prom. The kind of prom that everyone should have. I'm gonna give you all a nice, fun, normal evening if I have to kill every single person on the face of the earth to do it.
Okay, so yeah, I just love this speech. We use this gif a lot in our own prom planning purposes. You're gonna have a prom. I was like, great, that's perfect. You are gonna have a prom.
Yes. I love that the show always makes fun of like the fact of like whenever she does turn into this like dramatic action movie, like we're about to do this and then we're gonna do this.
Yes. Yes. She's really born for it. Like she really nails it every time.
Listen.
She's a good coach.
I think we learned by the end of the series, Buffy loves a speech.
Yeah. She does. I'm telling you, her and Coach Taylor. Top speech giver.
Her versus Coach Taylor.
Yeah, I always love to see that showdown. So we have a lot more to talk about with prom because it's prom. But Los Angeles traffic is a cruel, cruel thing. So Ira, we only have you for a little bit longer here. So let's just, I want to make sure you get to talk about all of your favorite things before you go.
I think we talked about that. We haven't talked about the prom.
The prom.
Itself, which is so much fun. I love that Cordelia gets to see Wesley in his Bond
look. Yes, 007.
And Giles is like, she's 18. Get a grip. It's like, you don't even work at the school, Wesley.
Literally. I believe he says you have the emotional maturity of a blueberry scone.
Yes, 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 yes. And then they dance, right?
Yeah, which is
they do dance.
Weird.
It's so weird.
Like, it is so weird looking at watching early Wesley.
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh, I just had this moment last week where I was like, wait, I actually don't like you because I get confused
Confused, you will know that you will love Wesley, right? To be honest.
Yes.
He's so annoying.
He's so annoying. And this...
Yeah, he's a nightmare right now.
I just like, you know, normally, I'm not okay with the teacher-student plotline in any series, but normally when you see this plotline, you see it done in like a hidden way. You're not... at right, the prom right. asking this student oh to dance.
Well, to be fair, he doesn't work at the school.
He doesn't. That's true.
These people must constantly also be like, who's this British man that keeps showing up to talk to Giles? They must, like, the rest of the school, the other teachers must think it's like his younger brother.
Totally.
They never really have a moment where, like, Snyder or anyone's like, why are you here?
Yeah. Also, Buffy does mention when she's trying to get Angel to go to the prom that lots of girls have older boyfriends, so he would blend. So maybe just in this instance, Wesley is also blending.
Yeah, Wesley and Angel both have the blending capacity for this. Yeah. So Ira, before you leave us, I want to know what this was like for you, because you watched this in real time.
Yes.
So you're watching the prom, Buffy's at the prom, and she gets this award. Like, what were your feelings? What were your emotions? Were you moved? Were you like...
I cried.
Yes.
I cried when I saw it. Yeah. I felt very emotional. I mean, it helps that you take her through this whole journey with Angel.
Right.
So she's alone. And then... she still makes it to the prom, but like half of the prom, like she's busy like saving all those kids and like they don't even know it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. We think.
Yeah. You know, she stops. Oh, I'm getting misty. She stops. She like stops the hellhound, and that one makes it almost all the way to the, and she saves that boy.
Right. Who's so confused.
Yeah. And he must be from another town.
Yeah.
His date's from Sunnydale.
Yeah. Totally.
So and then she makes it in. You know, it's like no one even knows. Mm-hmm. And then people do know.
They all know.
Yeah.
I know.
Which makes, you know, future things even better.
Yeah.
Because it sets up the fact that, like, people do know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the school, like.
Yeah.
All the teenagers fight back.
Well, Ira, it was really wonderful to get the chance to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm crying now.
our mission is complete. We got Ira to cry about the Class Protector Award. And it is, though. It's a lot. It's like, it's a lot. And it's good.
No sweet bed exists. has been broken. Tears must be cried. Let's do some.